Let's read. It's from 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrines, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." See, incidentally, tonight I want to speak on the thoughts, and this here fits right in with the word I was bringing to you, that to know you have to do. And you say, "But how can I do if I don't know what to do?" Well, you're only required to do what you know what to do. So the moment you accept Jesus as your Savior, you know that's right to do. God begins to tell you what else to do. And any time you go against that, you go against God. Any time you start listening to somebody else telling you what to do, you have gone against the inner leadership of God, and you find yourself in the wilderness. You see, it's very simple, but very technical. These people ask Jesus a question: "How are we going to know? Many teachers coming. Everybody say he's the Christ. Everyone say I'm right. How do we know who is right?" We can't find the answer in the Bible, because one to interpret the Bible this way and the other interpret the Bible that way. How do we know? You know that you know that you know when you start doing God's will. You definitely know the truth when you hear it. Your heart and soul vibrates to it, and you just know that that is true. So the people who you see following the truth, it's not because they are wiser, not because they are stronger, not because they are better, but they are obedient to what they know. You see, let's go into this message. And I am Isaiah 55, and we begin with verse 8. Okay, begin with verse 7 first. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Praise be to God. Now, I'm going to draw three circles here. One on top, and one in the middle, and one at the bottom of this paper here. Three circles. And the top one I see as God's thoughts. And he says, as the heaven is high above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. So God's thoughts above our thoughts. Man's thoughts is a middle circle. And the other circle is the thought of the devil, or evil thoughts. Now, God is saying to us here that, first of all, in order to get into his thoughts, you must forsake your thoughts. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. In other words, if you find that your thoughts are not righteous, which they are not, see, none of us, our thoughts are righteous. But therefore, any righteous thoughts that come to us, it must be God's thoughts. So, man's thoughts are not righteous, and they are basically selfish, self-centered. You see, basically selfish and self-centered. And thirdly, devilish. Now, if we forsake this, cut it right out, we don't want it, reject it. I don't want my own thoughts. I don't want yours. I don't want mine. You reject it. That's the first thing you have to do in order to enter into the thoughts of God. You reject your own thoughts. And then he said, let him return unto the Lord. And so we see your thoughts begin to rise. Your thoughts begin to rise until they are partially God, until they are more God. See, now, let's turn, just follow the references here, and turn to Jeremiah All right. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you unexpected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Therefore, these thoughts that you begin to think are thoughts of peace and deliverance. Now, there are other thoughts that bombard us, and these are lower, in a lower realm, even down into the satanic world. Thoughts of self are basically man-centered. Thoughts of the devil are basically anti-God. And you know that anything that is man-centered is not of God. You know, you're wondering to yourself, well, what does God require of me? Okay. What does God require of me this morning? I had planned to go out there and do so and so. Is it going to glorify God? Or is it just for self? Is this of God? It's simple. Would Jesus do it? You know, a simple thought like that. If it is of God, then Jesus Christ would do it. If it's not of God, then it's to glorify either self or to glorify to glorify the devil. But it's not going to glorify God, therefore it could not be of God. Very, very simple, yet very hard. You just stop and ask yourself a question. Now, is this Jesus? Would Jesus do this? If Jesus was in my position today, would Jesus do this? When I was praying a while ago, it occurred to me that I should say, Jesus, if Jesus stepped through that door tonight and came in here in the flesh, in person, what would Jesus say and what would Jesus do? And this is the exact thing that you want Jesus to make you say and to make you do. So our problem basically lies in our thought life. I am involved with a church here, and I know the church is not doing the will of God. I mean, I don't have to search far to know that. And I know all the scriptures that God speaks concerning them that have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. What shall I do? What is my requirement from God to them? And I know what God say in his Bible. Now, my thoughts. Yet I'm involved with them. I can't leave. I can't turn away. As the scripture said, I'm involved with them. Why am I involved with them? Check your thoughts. You know that the only barrier to us is in our soul. Let me show you again what we showed you last night. I'm going to draw it here again. We have God, the sun, beaming down great beams of light. This is God on top. And after that, we have Jesus Christ, the Son. That's Christ. And then next to him comes the Holy Spirit. And next to him is my spirit. And next to him is my soul. And next to him is my body. Now, I want God down here. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in here, body realm, earth, as it is here. And when I pray, Jesus, send me the will of the Father. Jesus sends the will of the Father, spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. And it comes in my spirit, but right here, standing in my spirit, there are bars in my soul, sorry. Here I should draw it in the soul. Right here in my soul, there are bars. My soul is the watchman of my whole being, and nothing can come to me unless I accept it. You'd say to me, then how does the devil get to people? The devil can't come in and take anybody. He doesn't have that power to come in and take any human being. Did you know that? That's why we are all, I mean, so many people are saved. That's why so many people are not just torn to pieces by satanic forces. Because the satanic forces have no power to override the authority of a man. Satan has to come and deceive you. Amen. Yeah. He deceives you. And you have to accept him in your being before you get him. And so with God. No spirit can enter into you. So all the glory that you pray for is right there. It's yours. God has answered every one of those prayers. But when you pray, you have got to begin to believe and praise. Prayer and praise. A young lady said to me once, she said, "But I'll be lying. You are telling me to lie. I ask God for healing, and you're telling me to thank God and say, 'Yes, I have received the healing.' You're asking me to lie." I said, "Well, if you didn't receive it, you'd be lying. But if the Bible said that when I ask God for healing, God gives it immediately, then who must I believe? You are the Bible." You see? And here is a story. We have got to shut out the negative in order to receive the positive. Are you with me still? Let me show you something. There are two positives. God, positive. Positive, good. Satan, positive, evil. Positive, evil, trying to take you as its negative to drive through its force through your being here. Positive evil wants you as a negative. Positive good has taken you as his negative. You accept Jesus Christ, therefore he's going to work through you to manifest himself. I don't know where the public service company is in this town, yet I know where the light is. It's right in these wires in this wall. How do I know this is the manifestation of it? Amen. Here is the manifestation of it. I see little things dancing here. Amen. Something's happening here, brother. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. The running light is running. And if nothing was in that line, it wouldn't be running. If you pull that plug, it's all off. Okay. What am I saying? I'm saying that the light is the glory of the public service company. The bulb, no light. Power, but no light. Amen. We are the bulb that the negative and the positive meet and manifest the glory of the Father. So God is using us to manifest himself down here. God has no other manifestation of Jesus Christ on earth beside you. And you better believe it, that you are the manifestation of Jesus Christ down here. So here we are, the people who give themselves to the devil. They are the negative for the devil. They are the manifestation of the devil. And sometimes the devil catches your body. He didn't catch your soul. He didn't catch your spirit. But he catches your body and he put a charge of devil through you, and you show forth the devil, and somebody says, "Whoo, think he says he's a Christian." Who is the thief? The man who sees you act in the devil and believes you are a devil. He's the thief. So the devil accuses you. Remember the Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Find that scripture. I know that. I will be find that one. I'll make Mavis find that one, that he'll keep them in perfect peace. Revelation 12 and 10, I think. What verse is it? Read it aloud for me.
"And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death.'"
Where did he fall from? Where did he fall from? He said he's cast down. From where?
From in the heaven in which he was fighting with Michael.
From heaven. So which of the heavens then? If there is a starry heaven up there, we just read as high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. And we just read that the snow cometh from heaven and the rain cometh from heaven. So there is one heaven there then where the snow comes from. And you know where the snow comes from. Amen. You fly in an airplane, you fly above the snow. You see the snow below you falling down there. You fly above the rain. Sometimes they're having heavy weather down there and you are up in bright sunshine up there. Be with me? So, you have a heaven then, a starry heaven, that is just the sky you call the heavens, up there, upstairs. A few miles up, that's the heavens. All right. But there's another heaven, an invisible realm where God lives. Isn't that right? And there's another heaven, a place where God is planning to live. Because everywhere that God lives, that's heaven. Is that right?
If God lives in you.
Yes, so you are a heaven, but you are the only imperfect heaven that I know about. See? So we are God's heaven. Our spirit, soul, and body is God's heaven. And here we read that Satan was cast down from heaven. So that means the time is coming when you will have no devil manifestations within you at all. When your spirit, soul, and body will be completely rid, absolutely rid of all satanic manifestation, and the only people who will have it are the sinners out there who hate God.
Is that when Christ comes down?
When Christ comes in. Amen. That's what drives the devil out. When Christ comes into us, the devil will be driven out. When Christ comes down to earth, the devil will have to be bound. Don't you see?
When Christ, and is it possible for Christ and the devil to struggle within a person just like Christ and the devil struggle for the keys to heaven? Or when Christ went down into the grave and struggled with the devil?
Everything that happened in the heavenlies, the first heaven is going to happen in this heaven. And it must happen in every heaven until every heaven is cleared of the devil. If you notice the picture in this Revelation 12 here, it's a picture of both the devil and God being in the same place. Look back at it, please. Look with it, with me again here. We see in the first verse, the womb, there appeared a woman in heaven. Now you know that in heaven there is no woman. Everybody here understand that? That in heaven there is neither male nor female. Agreed? So if there is a woman somewhere, then it must be in our heaven down here and couldn't be in God's eternal heaven up there. The woman was in heaven. And she was in pain. There is no pain or sorrow up in God's heaven. So it's got to be down here. Then Satan was in the same heaven. And then she had a man child. And the child was born, verse 5, and the child was caught up into heaven. So it's from heaven to heaven. And then the woman fled into the wilderness. And the scripture didn't say she left heaven and came down to earth and fled. So you all have to understand how the Bible deals with these matters. It's like symbolic language. And you have to have the Spirit of God to interpret it for you. So we see here that Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren. How does the devil accuse you? He accuses you by making you manifest the devil, when you ought to have been manifest in Christ.
Like you mean fear and worry?
Yes.
And
everything that is of the devil.
And pain and
The wrong actions, getting mad, you know, getting fussy, angry, quarreling. You see, all these are of the devil, and he makes you manifest them, and then he turns around and says, "I told you, she's no Christian." He calls somebody a showman. Then that person is deceived to believe you're not a Christian because you manifested the devil. But it was like a battle. And you lost. You know, you lost the battle, but you haven't lost the war. It's just one battle, and it depends on who wins at the end. That's what matters. So, let's go back to this principle. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, as a heaven is higher than the earth. But he's calling us up into his thoughts. What's the scripture we're looking for now?
Isaiah
26 and 3. Yes. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. So you see, it is no big Christian that get the peace of God or the guidance of God. It is those who believe God. Abraham wasn't righteous. You think Abraham was righteous? The Bible speaks of righteous Abraham. But it didn't mean that Abraham was righteous according to the righteousness of the Holy Spirit, which we are taught now. But Abraham obeyed God. The Bible said Abraham believed God. And what? It was counted to him for righteousness. Do you realize if you believe what is written in this book, that you will be righteous by the Holy Ghost? Just to believe it. Because if you believe it, you're going to obey it. And the moment you obey it, you're going to see truth. I turn you to something here. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. The more you fellowship with sinners, the more they confuse you. The more you disobey the Bible. God said, don't walk with this man. And you walk with him. He's going to push a sword in you. We confuse you. He's going to lift you. And this is the whole story. If you obey God, you cannot be wrong. Now look at John 3. And we see the ruler of the Jews came to Jesus by night, verse 2, and said, I know that thou art a man come from God, teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, he had an outward manifestation. He saw something. And what he saw was the miracles that Jesus did, and he knew that it had to be from God. Good. Nicodemus said unto him, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No. This was very peculiar, because Nicodemus didn't ask Jesus anything about the kingdom of God. But this is what Nicodemus had in his mind. And so Jesus, instead of beating around the bush, he answered him directly the question that Nicodemus wanted to draw him into. Just answer him. But what did he say? Except a man do something, he's blind, he cannot see something. This is the principle of God. Except you are born again, it is impossible for you to see the kingdom of God. Now, this didn't say that some born again people, that every born again people sees the kingdom of God. Come on, did it say that? I know some born again people who are as blind as Bartimaeus, because they elect to be blind. Immediately they were born again, they turn away from looking at Jesus and look at their church system. And the moment you turn from Jesus and look at your church and say, well, this is it. No, it's a beautiful church. I love the organ playing, and I love the singing, and I love the pastor, and I love all these poor people. I better stay around here. This is where God wants me. And the moment vanity enters in and you begin to satisfy your vanity, you become blind again. Hallelujah. Blind, yes?
Pressures around you, like in our town, if you don't go to church,
yes,
while there's something terribly wrong with you, you know, the pressures there segregate you into these various congregations, or you just don't belong.
Well, the point is, the pressures are from the devil. You see, when I prayed for you last night, I felt this pressure. And I told them, you see, the pressures are satanic. They are from a spirit that we call a religious spirit. They don't care whether you go to heaven or not. They don't care whether you obey God or not. They don't care whether you're walking in the light, in the perfection of God's glory or not. They only want to see you go into church every Sunday and say you're a good person and you're acceptable to their society. Well, God put certain people in there to break their ways and to teach them. Now, whenever, you know, my wife and I talk over anything and say, well, people expect you to do this and people want you to do this, I generally say to her, I am put here of God to lead people and not people to lead me. And I won't let people lead me down to hell. I know what God said, brother. And I tell you, if you get all the bulldozers out of hell to move me to do what they think and what they believe, I won't, because I know what God said.
This is the story.
All the while men have been following other men like blind Bartimaeus, going down to hell, following other men. And they're afraid to follow God because they are going to think this. You know something? You break away and start to follow God, and you see them breaking away one by one, running after you. God wants somebody with the guts to walk away from the
Christian.
I'll show you the answer. I'll show you the answer, but just give me one more minute.
Is there no way that you can function in a church situation and not be blind? Like you're talking about, you know,
not now. Not now. Not now. Formerly. Formerly. But it's too late now. The time has come when the satanic forces have zeroed in on the things that are called church, which had not been obeying their Lord. In other words, we call it, I want nice words. The harlot system, the Delilah churches. You see, Samson is a type of the true church, and he went a whoring with the false church. And he got himself so mixed up, lost his eyes, got blind. And when God resurrected the man again, he said, God, let me avenge them of my eye. But the body of Christ is blind. because we have elected to be blind. But God is not only growing the hair now, but he's growing the eyes. And yes, when you see, boy, don't make blind people leave you. You know what Jesus said about that? He said, look, he said, the blind shall not lead the blind. For if the blind lead the blind, they both will fall into a ditch. But let's turn it in the converse. Those who can see must lead the blind.
Yeah.
Yes.
The ones, the people, like a minister, you know, I know many of them, who do not accept everything that's in the Bible.
Quite.
They accept it for some time, but not for now.
Yeah, if he's saying, oh, that was for 2,000 years ago, that doesn't happen now, there's nothing to that now, that's just... But for when Jesus was here on earth and things like that, and they just will not accept the fact that the power of Jesus is operating right now as it did 2,000 years ago.
Okay.
Then that's a form of blindness.
Okay, it's worse than blindness. Now that's just a little worse than blindness. Now do you accept this Bible?
Oh.
You accept it with all your heart.
But then if I say something, they think I'm just crazy.
Okay.
No, okay. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Okay.
Well, then I'm
discouraged
and I just
go
away and...
Okay. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy. Paul had the same problem with some of the preachers. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed him the answer. And if this is not good enough, well, the whole Bible isn't good. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5. Having a form, he said, let's read verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. You think he was talking about now? Good, Master. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What does it say to do? From such turn away. You got it clear. It's no secret. It's no secret what God says. 2 John 10. For if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. For he that biddeth him God speed is partaker of his evil deeds. Praise God. And if you want the whole of the scriptures, the whole of it, we can look it up. Let's give you some more scriptures here. You take Romans 16 and 17. Somebody read that for me. Romans 16, verse 17.
I appeal to you, brethren, to take note of those who create dissensions and difficulties in opposition to the doctrine which was in Corinth. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by fair and flattering words they deceive the hearts of the simple mind.
Good. Now, all right. You go read again 1 Corinthians now. 5:11. Somebody else read that for me now.
But now I have written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, for such a one know not to eat.
Amen. don't even have supper with him. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 6, and I want to show you something else. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6. Somebody read that for me.
Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye received of us.
Amen. Did he speak of the type of disorder he was talking about? Yes, disorderly. Mean not according to righteousness. All right. Here we are again. We have 1 Timothy 6, 5.
Well, it starts before that.
Yes. Read before.
If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw
thyself. Now, if you have heard many preach, you know, that as if prosperity shows the amount of godliness they have, beautiful churches and all that sort of thing. Now, if you want to hear what Jesus Christ said, let's turn around to John's Gospel and look at John 17, when Jesus was praying for us all. And let's see now, verse, he said, as the Holy Father sent me, so send I you. I think it's around verse 9. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep to thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. The first thing about that is, anybody who set up a denomination is dividing the people of God. God's will and intention is that we should be one as he and God is one. No, the part which says, send I you. Verse 2 here, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou hast given me, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil of the world. Dispensation. How can he manage with let's read it in all the other translations. Let's read it in all the other translations we have here, or at least in a few. Just call out what translation it is and read it, and let's see if it's the same sense we get here.
I have the Revised Standard.
Let's have it.
Okay.
Revised Standard, chapter 14 of St. John, verse
12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Praise God. Now, how would your minister answer this? How would he answer it if he doesn't believe that we are going to walk the same way Jesus walked? It's impossible. So you see, I prefer to believe my Bible than believe these men. Because if no man can doubt the gospel and live a clean life, I could look him in the eye and tell him he's unclean. I know it. You know that a man with the Holy Ghost has to really stand in the integrity of the Spirit to live clean in this world. Yes. And a man without the Holy Ghost, I mean, he just called clean the dirty clean. That's the whole story. I've spent so much time with men of God who have denied the Word of God, and I know they cannot live holy. It is absolutely impossible for them to live holy, free from sin. Yes, let's hear William's version.
I most solemnly say to you, whosoever perseveres in believing in me can himself do the things that I am doing. Yes, he can do even greater things than I am doing, because I am going to the Father.
Amen. Another translation, brother?
Phillips. I assure you that the man who believes in me will do the same things that I have done. Yes, and he will do even greater things than these, for I am going away to the Father. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do, that the Son may bring glory.
Praise be to God. Well, we have read four translations, and every one says the same thing. So it seems to me that, well, that would be enough for that. Then if you check the same 14th chapter, you will see Jesus said, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, how long? Forever. Now, if he was just talking to those disciples, wouldn't he say that he'll abide with you until you die? But he was saying that the Holy Ghost was going to abide with the Christians forever. This is what he was saying. That means to say we, the children of these brethren, should also have the Holy Ghost like they. All right, let's read a little. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the sinners cannot receive, because it seeth him not, they don't see him, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be within you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and he in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. See? We run down here to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And the last scripture I want to show you is in John 7, And verse 38 and 39. Listen to this carefully. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. Now, he that believeth means all of us who believe, including your minister, if he does, or whatever minister or preacher he is. God includes him. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And here is the explanation. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. The last scripture then. We turn to Mark 16. And this will knock your dissenters completely out. Knock them out completely. If they believe in the Bible. If they don't believe in the Bible, they don't have any hope. Can't help them. But for those of us who believe, we can't listen to unbelievers. Because I think the worst unbeliever is an unbelieving preacher. He's preaching something and he doesn't believe the very thing that he's supposed to be preaching. So he's drawing money on the false pretenses. The 16th chapter of Mark and the 16th verse. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So if your minister believes, these things will happen to him. If they don't happen to him, he is not a believer. Amen. Praise God. You don't have to drink poison to believe, because there are five signs there. Amen. And if one or two happen, you know you got the rest. You don't have to go trying it out. Praise his holy name. So this is what I am saying pertaining to our position. We need to take a stand. We need to do what God says we should do. We need to show the people around that God is in us of a truth. In the Babylon, there was the same situation that we have here tonight. Three young boys said, well, we are not going to bow. And thousands of old men, young men, women and children bowed. Yeah, thousands of Israelites were there. All the captivity that were taken captive and carried into Babylon, they bowed to the image. Three boys said, okay, we have one life. If our God won't defend us today, then you can kill us, but we won't bow to that thing. Blessed be to God, it's an eternal memorial, because three boys wouldn't bow. Isn't that something? So praise be to God. You know, we have got to stand. Now we therefore, we are the negative for the good God. Satan is the positive for his negative people. You see, some people going around preaching that Satan is a negative and God is a positive. It's a lie. It's the devil are telling them that. So, because of this, then, we need to function and show forth the glory or the light of God. Since we are in the material world, and this light needs to be manifested down here. Hallelujah. Now, the positive evil is always breaking in. But there's one thing you notice, that is less and less. If the devil catches you around the corner here, it only makes you wiser. Never be afraid of the pressures of what Satan will do. Every time he does you, he loses a point. He makes you wiser. Next time he comes back, you know the very feeling, the very smell of it. Amen. So, he will keep you in perfect peace. whose minds are stayed on him. That's a terrible racket. Amen. He'll keep you in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on him because you trust in him. Work out a working arrangement with God. Could you do that? Say, God, I will do so and so because I believe you want me to do so and so. And the rest is left to you. And when you do your piece, that you're part of the bargain, God will be coming up with his part. See? Somebody say, I don't know the voice of God. I don't know the voice of God. I can't hear him. You see, you can't hear him because you're hearing him. And you don't believe it's God. So it's not your hearing that is bad so much, it's your belief. You hear him, but you don't believe what you're hearing. But the first day you hear and you act upon what you hear, and you say, God, I believe it's you, so I'm going to do it. You hear again. And the more you act upon what you hear from God and what you believe to be God, it's the more God speaks to you and manifests to you. You just make a working arrangement. But suppose you said, well, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm not going to do anything because I don't know who's talking. Sometimes it could be the devil and sometimes it could be God. So I just don't know who is talking. So I won't do anything. What could God do? You see? And if you are double-minded, God can't do anything either. You can stop God by your own soul. But you can give God the franchise to work with you by your own soul, just opening up to him. You go, you make an arrangement with God. You say, God, if I feel strongly in my heart that you want me to do something, I'm going to do it. And do you know you will never know who talked to you until you do it? The moment you do it, the peace of God flood you and the glory. You know it's God. Yeah. You might get some licking, you know, for it. People will zero in on you and the devil will do everything to convince you that you're wrong. But you'll have it and you'll know you're right.